it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This time on Wednesdays, though, 1:20 during football season means Mark Schlereth joins the show. He's our Odyssey NFL insider, hosted the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, how are you?
What up, Steak?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. I mean, obviously reacting to a week one loss. We're familiar with that here, but not fun. What was your general takeaway from the Falcons' loss to the Bucs on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing, you know, obviously your quarterback played pretty well, having almost 300 yards passing. There was a lot of attempts, which you're going to get when you don't run the ball worth a crap. And, you know, it's really interesting, operationally speaking. You look throughout the games over the course of the entirety of the weekend. The run game in a lot of areas really suffered, and it suffered because of, to me, the operation, snap count operation. Where do you snap the ball if you're running kind of, you know, handoff sift, where the tight end is? Can you get him in the right spot so he can cut off the end man line of scrimmage so he's not digging him out? Like, just different things operationally that really created a lack of consistency in the run game, consistency in offense in general, you know. And so that was something that was endemic of the entire league as I was watching things, just entry points of fullbacks and tight ends and getting to the second level and being consistent in the run. And, you know, I look at it like from Atlanta's standpoint, I'm still impressed that, you know, you still got, what, 10 runs or so for each of those guys that are carrying the ball. But the bottom line, lack of efficiency in those, you know, in those 20-some-odd carries. So that always makes it tough. But that was kind of across the board throughout the National Football League this weekend.
Do you think, Stick, and you know, when we talk about a lot of people, the preseason, and also, you know, they say defenses are ahead of the offense, do you think either one of those had any effect on how the league was run, how people ran the ball this week in the league?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we want perfection, especially as fans, right? We want perfection early, but we don't practice anymore. Right. We don't do the things that we need to do. And offense is about there's a precision aspect of offense, right? With the timing and everything else, and using your snap count as a weapon, and being on the same page, and it's the nuanced stuff. Like I always say, blocking people and playing well up front, it's the most skilled position in football. It's really hard to do it well. And if we don't play in the preseason, or we take we're going to take 8 snaps in this game, then we're going to take the second game off, and then we're going to take 7 snaps in this game, and now all of a sudden, but we're going to have a couple of joint practices, but we're not going to actually tackle anybody, and we're going to blow the whistle before things are, like, it's just different, and it's really hard to be efficient, especially on that side of the ball. Defensively, you can pin your ears back and just out-effort people, even if you don't have great technique, mm-hmm. and the odds are you're going to be pretty successful. You may give up a big player or two, but that's kind of how it works. So, I saw that throughout the league. So, you know, there's some panic in fan bases, understandably so. But at the same, if you really kind of did what I did, and I dug through every play of every game this weekend, simply because I got stuck in Jacksonville on a lightning delay. So, like, what are you going to do in Jacksonville, right? I mean, I sat in my room and watched film, and then I had a plane ride back to Denver, and I sat in my plane and got the internet, and I just watched games. So, you know, that's how boring my life is. But the bottom line was, it was across the board with just about every offense. Other than that Sunday night game between right. Baltimore and it was the exact opposite where the defense didn't show up. But other than that game, man, it was pretty much the same. You look at the AFC, you look at the NFC West, excuse me. The Arizona Cardinals won a game 20-13 They scored more points than anybody else in the AFC West with 20.
Wow.
That was the high score of the weekend in the AFC West. If that tells you anything about the way the – and every rule is bent toward the offense having success.
True.
And yet 20 points is the most we got in the NFC West.
Falcons' second game this weekend will be in Minnesota against the Vikings. We saw them take on the Bears on Monday Night Football. J.J. McCarthy, kind of a tale of two halves in his first start. What did you make of his performance and the Vikings in general?
I thought, one, it was incredible that you can play as poorly as you played throughout three quarters of that game and then have the fourth quarter that you had. What did I see? The stat I saw is the first player in NFL history to have a double-digit deficit in his first start ever and lead his team to victory with three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Like, unbelievable,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but the funny thing is about that is we can sit there and say, wow, J.J. McCarthy was great. You know what happened? Jordan Mason happened. They started handing the ball to Jordan Mason. He started ripping off 14-yard gains, and all of a sudden, mm-hmm. the offense, the keys of the offense, it got unleashed, right? It got unlocked. And so – you know, it just goes to show you, again, you start controlling the line of scrimmage and all of a sudden the play action stuff opens up and all of a sudden now, you know, Justin Jefferson is getting opportunities and he's making big plays, you know, and now everybody's happy because, hey, we did this. And so a lot of that stuff on offense gets unlocked or some of the mistakes are mitigated when you have a great running game and when all of a sudden, you know, some running back is trying to trade paint with every safety and every corner, that you know, it changes your outcome. It kind of changes the math equation, if you will. Not that, you know, the math nerds get much credit, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Hey, I mean, after week one, it's obviously, you know, this team's going to the playoffs. Oh my God, this team's season over after 1 week. But the Green Bay Packers, I mean – Detroit, I mean, they're breaking the new coordinates and everything, and obviously the energy around Green Bay with the addition of Micah, but, I mean, how legit are they now? Because I thought they were a good team before Micah, but now it seems when they got a guy like that, it seems like he might be the missing piece of putting them over the top.
Yeah, watching that first half, the first thing that jumped out at me, protection. I mean, Jordan Love just sat back there unmolested the entirety of the first half going, okay, which young receiver do I want to throw it to? Let me think. You know, there was just zero pressure. So I thought they played exceptionally well. I think they've got a very young, talented football team. You know, like I said, all their receivers, their young tight end. Obviously, Josh Jacobs makes it different because he's a hammerhead and he's a power run back. And then ultimately, you know, using Micah sparingly. I know he had the back thing, he had the epidural or whatever. But I don't know what the mixture was. Whatever that pineapple juice he was on, I want some. Like, I would drink, give me all the pineapple juice and all the things, you know, all the Mountain Dew that guy was sucking down because that dude was possessed.
Yeah.
And he went out there to make a statement that the Dallas Cowboys, you screwed this thing up. And to me, he made that statement, man. He was dynamic, splitting double teams, flying around, chasing down the quarterback for a sack. That was fun for me to watch because it was, you know, it was a statement out there, kind of like up yours, Dallas. So I enjoy that. You know, I'm a really, really gracious loser, but I'm an absolute ass when it comes to winning. So I'm 100% on that.
Odyssey NFL insider and ass when he wins. Mark Schlereth joining us here, brought to you by Nationwide for insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. You mentioned it earlier. It was the game of the first weekend. Who knows? It might be the game of the year between the Bills and the Ravens. Say anything you want about it. Take that conversation anywhere you want to go with that game because it was awesome.
Okay, well, I addressed this. There's two things I addressed in the Stink of Truth podcast this weekend on YouTube that are on Tuesday, yesterday when I got home. So go check that out. But what is it about the Baltimore Ravens that, you know, that their testicles shrivel in those kind of got to have it moments from a coaching staff standpoint?
Yep.
And after Henry puts the ball on the ground, right? The first drive, the first play of that drive was a scramble.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Campbell, you know, by your quarterback, number 8, Lamar Jackson, and he takes it for 13 yards. And then the next play, Henry fumbles, and then, you know, they go in to score and make it 38-40. The next three plays were a Derrick Henry handoff for about 3.5 yards. Great. And then we went Zay Flowers on a jet sweep. We took it out of our quarterback's hands, the guy that's won 2 MVPs and maybe should have won a third last year. We took it out of his hands and gave it to an east-west play jet sweep where the running back is running toward the sideline. The wide receiver is running toward the sideline who's not in between the tackles or he's not used to running the ball with traffic. And so now all of a sudden the sideline approaches, you got traffic, so you just got to go down and lose a yard. What are we doing from a play calling standpoint? Why do we lose our identity in Baltimore when it's nut cutting time? I don't understand it. Then you have to throw it short of the sticks, and then on 4th-and-3, you say, "Hey, I'm going to trust the defense." It's just just bent over, giving it up. I don't understand that. So, you know, I addressed that like that. Uh-huh. The other thing I addressed on my podcast, I'm on a roll right now.
Yes, you are. Go ahead. Anything else?
I said this probably 2 months ago, maybe longer than that. Why are you continuing the farce with the New York Giants that Russ is going to do something for you?
Yeah.
I said it 2 months ago or 10 weeks ago. You should cut him and just start Jackson Dart from the start. And I'm telling you what, we had check down Russ. So if you're a Giant fan listening to me in New York right now, in Atlanta right now, you're a Giants fan that you've transplanted to Atlanta, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get on social media, and I want you to craft a strongly worded apology letter to me. Think you were right. Think you were smart. I am done. I'm stupid. You know football. I don't. This is what I want you guys to write me, and I will send you back my papal blessing for your apology.
Stink. We love it, man. We love it. That's why we wanted to make sure we did it again. It was 18 weeks of that last year. We're only 2 weeks in, and we're already off to a great start. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Stink.
You got it, guys. Take care, man.
Mark Schlerer there, Odyssey NFL Insider.
Oh, boy.
Not a Russ guy.
No. And he is not a Russ guy.
It's a little personal.
Because remember last year?
Oh, yeah.
Remember last year? It was like that when he was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Now, I think some stuff happened in Denver.
Yes,
sure.
Of course it did.
Anyway, that was Odyssey NFL Insider, Mark Schlerer, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Check that out. A lot of that in there. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side.
And also join Dukes and Bell. They're up at Flyer Branch today. Going to talk to Robert. Join them tomorrow. They're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe in Cummings for a special broadcast. They'll be getting ready for Thursday night game, plus looking ahead to this weekend's college and pro action. That's Thursday, Buffalo's Cafe in Cummings on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
The Giants actually have a solution that we all want.
Yes.
Right?
Let Jameis play.
Let Jameis play. Just let Jameis play. Like, obviously, Russell Wilson can't do it anymore. Maybe do it one more week.
Jameis play.
You don't want to play Jackson Dart yet.
Let him play or let him do the press conference.
Yeah, or at the very least, let him talk. But no, let him play. He'll throw you 3 touchdowns. I don't know if the Lord has delivered him from pick sixes forever. I'd like to find out. I'd like to find out on Sunday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.